Session number 22659, Reel 10.
As I understand, you were to be married on leave this time. Tell us about that.
Well, of course, I've known the girlfriend for a long time. I thought, well, better do something about it. So, with one day to go of my leave, I said, well, we'll get married. She said, well, she'd rung me. And, okay, so...
So she wanted to get married.
Yeah. So I had some mates around the town and who could do things for me, such as, one in the solicitor's office, I think it was. Another one... Oh, yeah, in the solicitor's office, that was it. And he got onto the... magistrate or whatever it was, and we got a special license, and it was all over. And, well, that was on the Friday, married on the Saturday, and I had to go back on the Tuesday.
Doesn't give me much time.
No.
Yeah. What were the feelings of getting married in a situation where you knew you might be going off and you might not come back? Was that given much consideration?
No, you didn't. Or I didn't. I didn't. I thought, oh, well, I might leave someone behind me. That's all there was to it. So we've been married, what? 60 years. Yeah, 59 years. 59 years and 6 kids. When I say kids, the youngest is 40.
Did you know where you were going to be sent at this point?
For the next time? No.
Did you? What was going on in the general sort of lay of the war at this stage?
What was going on?
The Japanese had been defeated in January of 43 in Papua.
Yeah.
It was mid 43. Where the offensives were launched on the Huon Peninsula by the 7th and 9th Divisions.
Yeah, so we were then going to be go with the Yanks.
What was the feeling of being involved with the Yanks?
What the hell's in the... Now, what's the area the Yanks were in? Was the Philippines?
So what was the feeling of then having to be involved with the Americans?
You're not you're recording me? Oh. It was a shock.
Why was it a shock?
Well, the Yanks seemed to... If they do anything, and they've got anyone with them, well, they sort of take them as well, and consideration is very small. And also, we didn't have the equipment that the Yanks had, and I think that might have been a problem too.
Can you explain to us then how the average troop felt, given that the Americans were very much better equipped and had better uniforms, that sort of thing?
Oh, the troops seemed quite happy. They thought, well, they're going up to somewhere that wasn't in the jungle. And I thought, well, when we go up there, it'll be a bit different, you see. But unfortunately, or fortunately, the attitude was changed. I don't know for what reason, but it was cancelled. And we didn't go up there. So the next thing was Borneo.
Well, can we talk a bit about the situation before then,
yeah,
in relation to the 7th Division and its involvement in places like Ley, for instance? Did you know anything about Ley?
No, I knew they were 9 div. 6 and 9 div.
7th and 9th Division.
What?
The 7th Division entered Ley.
But
on the 16th of September 1943.
Yes, but how many of them were there?
What did you know about that situation?
Nothing. We were part of a battalion, and it hadn't filtered down through the top, from the top service. But the thing was, we had other things to do.
Well, tell us what you were involved with at that particular time.
Well, we were moving up. Now, let me see.
Was this the Martin Valley?
Yeah. We were. We were probably going up to Dumpu then. Flying up. And.
So what was your involvement then with the Markham and Ramu Valley experience?
Mine.
What were you doing in relation with that?
Now, personally or the... Me? Well, I was a... a company commander at that stage. Mind you, I get twisted round. I was a company commander, and we flew up to Dumpu, and then we went from there a bit further in. I just can't think of a place, and I can't find it on the map either. But we went in to country surrounding Shaggy Ridge. And
okay, well, look, at this, Dumpu was the 4th of October 1943.
Yeah.
And the 2nd 16th launched an immediate attack on the Japanese at Sagarak. Were you involved with that before you went to Dumpu?
No.
Crossing of the Umi River?
Yes.
Tell us about that experience.
Well, that was, in those days, we had no small radio sets. We had only radio set per company that was slung on your back, and it was heavy, and it required an accumulator to supply the current, and also a spare one to be brought up, and with no recharging on the spot if you're mobile. If you're in a fixed camp, you can get them charged with a charger, you see. And we had to go across the river on a line. Now, we went across the river without a line at first. And then when we got over the river and got on a bit, we got an order that the Japs were on our tail. We've got to return and consolidate. So there was a little mess. And by the time we returned, there'd been a flood up on the hills, and the bloody water had come down, and we had to come back on a on a line. Did you see that picture? And then we got back to we drew back to a clump of timber we had been in before we'd taken off after I think it was Nansab. I think, or the Kuiapit, was it? And well, we'd the battalion had sort of consolidated, waited around there till we were ready to, we had all the troops there ready to move, and my company was the point of the advance up the track, and we withdrew to there. Then they got another order to say it was a false order, you can go ahead again. So we had to go ahead again, the way we went.
Sounds as though it wasn't very well organised. That doesn't sound very well organised.
Oh, well, it's these things. We didn't have the bloody communications, you see. We had odd fellows out, or perhaps a mile out on our flanks to cover the movement up, you see, so we're not surprised. See? And then we went up, I think only for 2 days we went up to Kuiapit, I think it was. I'm a bit tangled up there.
That's
all right.
Well, I can.
To Kuiapit, and
after marching to the defence of Kuiapit, the 2nd 16th once again took up the advance and entered Dumpu.
Yeah. All
right. That was on the 4th of October.
Oh.
Had you had contact with the enemy at all up until that point?
Now, I think it was the one. Yes, while we were moving up, one of these groups that had been out protecting the flank came across a small village. And left in this village, I told you about this before, I think, there was one woman left in it. And what else should be in there was a Jap officer. And she had a bottle of a bottle with coins in it, and she was possessing this coins. I don't know what it meant, but our fellows, well, it was only two or three of them went in, and the Jap fellow took off from the scrub out onto the clearing, or the ground that was still clear around the river there, and the Ramu, and he took off, and our fellows went after him, you see, and he couldn't go far. He went and got down in a dry watercourse, hiding, hoping they'd go past him, you see. Well, they spotted him, and the officer concerned did him over with a sword that he'd picked up as a souvenir in the place, and also he had a pistol, and this Jap officer, and he still had the pistol, you see, and one of the lads went up went to go close to him or got him by surprise, and the Jap shot him. So we lost one fellow over it. And then we sent the woman back with her money, back to the rear. I don't know what they did with her, but she would have gone back down the line and just safekeeping, you see. And then from then on, we went up to Dumpu.
Can you tell us a little bit about what then, Dumpu was like?
Nothing. It's a bloody heap. Yeah.
What was the significance of the place?
Well, I only knew it as a spot on the map. It's not on the map that I've got here, but it's like the rest of a few other things that they've put down. Not on that thing that's supposed to be official, this thing here is supposed to be official, and it's got that much writing and all the places on it that you'd think it'd be there, but I'm damned if I might be blind, and I can't see them. But there's plenty of spots there, but they're not mentioned. Well then, from then on, we took over various spots. And of course, Shangi Ridge was sort of up there, as high as hell, and it came down with the Faria River around there, and we were down around here, and that was the centre of the battalion, and we moved off into various places. I finished up. I don't know what river it was along, but along the river that was there, going through a gully, and a place called John's Knoll.
What did you understand at the time of the significance and importance of the Shaggy Ridge outcrop, and why?
Well, all we knew was the bloody thing was high. And you can see from it. And of course, there was a few Japs up there, and they were holding it, you see, and they could see around the countryside. Well, I don't know that they could see us too well, because we weren't in such great numbers. And there was still foliage around the place. At any rate. But they were in, the Japs were in clumps around the place, they were. And then I was at John's Knoll there for might have been a week, maybe a fortnight, I don't think so now. But then we were shifted. They shifted us around to, you know, to just change our attitude sort of business. And to end, there was the Shaggy Ridge there, right there. The river, Faria River, come up here, you see.
What side? Side of the ridge were you on? North, east, west?
I'd say it'd be the east northeast.
Did you know at the time that position?
No.
Why not? Well, you mentioned that the maps weren't particularly good.
Oh, no. Well, it's, there you go.
Can you describe why the maps were not very good?
Well, I didn't have any. As a matter of fact, for information, my third son, my fourth, my fourth son went over about 10 years ago as a university teacher and taught them what do you call it making.
Cartography.
Yeah, he's a master out at Curtin.
But the maps at the time, you mentioned that you did have a few maps. Why weren't they very good?
Well, they were just made up from drawings provided by what the hell do they call them? The New Guinea Patrol they were, and they made sketches, and some of them were pointing the wrong way, you know, and things like that. And you had to really know the local population so you could talk to them and find out where you were.
What was your position at this particular time? What were your duties at this point? What was your rank?
Mine?
You mentioned you were a company commander, but
I would have been captain then.
You mentioned that you would become second IC. Two IC.
Yeah.
Tell us how that came about.
Because I was an ex-member of the regular army. See? I think I told you I started as a cadet and went right through, you see.
But how did you become 2IC? Tell us how that came about. Sorry, can you describe to us the situation where you would have become 2IC?
Yeah.
In this particular instance, I understand you would have become acting 2IC, I should say. Can you tell us how that came about?
Now, when prior to the action on Shaggy Ridge, the CO, Frank Sublett, was sent back to Australia for a special training course for advanced action after this activity we were on now, or on them. And the course replacement was temporarily appointed for him, and that was Garth Symington, a major, and I was the next senior one, and I was acting as a 2IC for him.
Tell us then what was involved in being an acting 2IC.
Oh, God.
What were your personal feelings about becoming an acting 2IC?
Is this turned off? The thing was, the general administration around the place, rations and things like that, if there was any balancing of activities, or if we did have to move any troops from one position to another for security purposes, that were the main things.
Were you privy to any of the other sort of more important orders and things like that were known, that the officers knew, that other people didn't?
It was only more or less on the administrative side.
How did your soldiers see you in this position, in this role, do you think?
How did they receive me? Well, I reckon it was good.
Why do you think that?
Well, they'd known me for so long, and I was prepared to listen to them, which I think all officers from our unit were. That was one of the things of the unit that we were very careful about. Not just give an order and turn your back.
Did you feel as though you were under any pressure? Added pressure that you didn't need?
No. Oh, no. Yeah.
So tell us some of the benefits possibly of being 2IC.
Oh, Christ. Benefits? Well, ensure the rations are satisfactory, quarters, if any, and things like that.
Were the rations satisfactory?
For what was available.
What was available at that time?
Look, I couldn't tell you.
Where were you getting the
my
rations?
My memory at the... Oh, they came up... probably by, well, they would have come up by plane, and then from there by foot. Yes, it was.
Did you feel as though you understood the full picture better because of your position, your acting position?
Oh, God, well I'd done things before. Where were I? Oh, in the unit, I'd been a quartermaster and that, which is sort of all those silly things.
Can you then explain to us your experience of the Shaggy Ridge?
My experience of Shaggy... Now, what do you mean? Well, look.
The actual operation. What you experienced of the Shaggy Ridge experience.
Well,
the 27th of December 43, the ridge was bombarded from the air and by 25 pounders.
Well, the Shaggy Ridge action was very limited. He had about a frontage of about two men. It was a ridge, and the Japs and ourselves were both hanging on the side of the place, you might say. There were no, that was the shape of the ground. If you look in that book there, you can see pictures of it.
Can you describe to us then what it was like? You mentioned it was high.
Yeah.
How steep was it?
Oh, God. Oh, no. I think it gave sea level height. Oh, I suppose it might be 300 feet, I suppose. Oh, it must have been more. I couldn't say that.
Shaggy Ridge was part of a razor edge mountain range covered in thick rainforest and impenetrable bamboo thickets.
Yeah.
What were the three points that you needed to attain? As I understand, there were posts up this ridge that the Japanese had.
Oh, yeah. They were sort of small peaks in the ridge, like a camel's back. Yeah. And of course, a bit longer than a camel.
Sheer drop on either side. How sheer was the drop?
Well, I should say it was now what would you say?
Roughly.
It was only about might have been 15 degrees off vertical.